Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
And we're kind of going to walk on some level on the same theme that we started last week. We're going to talk about transformation. We call this generation transformation because Jesus said this generation will not pass away until all these things come to pass. Everything that has been prophesied, everything that the Bible says is going to happen, is going to happen. And this generation of believers in every time in history, the generation of believers in Christ will not pass away until everything is accomplished, that Jesus and the Word of God prophesied would be accomplished. It's really important. So it says of Jesus, there are different things that he would do, and it would say he did such and such a miracle, he did such and such a thing to fulfill the Scriptures. And really, it's the church's job to be about the business of fulfilling the prophecies so that everything can be accomplished that Jesus said would be accomplished. So it's not just our job to be good and wait and do our ministry, but we really should be looking in the Word of God. We should be looking for things that still need to be fulfilled and accomplished. And that's how the church has, over the last several generations, this is 500 years since Martin Luther, right? Generations the church has been building, and it's almost building one revelation at a time as the Lord illuminates a portion of his word that we're not walking into the fullness. Then we say, okay, this is something that has to be added or included. And we're on some level one of the forward edge sort of movements of that fulfillment. And that's a good thing. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says this. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. But we with unveiled face, if you see the context of that, he's talking about the veil was over the face of the Jewish people, really for our benefit, so that they really couldn't recognize Jesus when he came. Because Jesus came and preached truth, and he was the fulfillment of their entire religion. He was the Messiah, and their face was veiled. But it says, now we with unveiled face, we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So where should be our gaze? Where should always our attention be? Where should be the focus of our vision? Should be on Jesus. And as we focus on Jesus, as we focus on the glory of the Lord, it takes a while to do that. It doesn't happen automatically. Jesus is too much of a flannel graph character for us. It's very hard for us to gaze at him. To really ask yourself the questions, why is he doing what he's doing, Jesus? Why does he do what he does? What is his motivation in this instance, in this place, this parable? What is he really trying to show us and teach us? And we gaze at that glory, and as we gaze at that glory, it says that we're changed into that same image. So ultimately, that's our destiny. Our destiny is to be changed into his image. And it says, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. And I do believe that there's a direct correlation to Genesis chapter 1, because at the end of every creative day, God says, it is good. And then there's evening and the morning and then the next day. And at the end of that day, he said, it is good. So God works in these segments of time and brings his creative process in our lives prophetically, like he did in the book of Genesis, from glory to glory. God is working on you at a particular day of his week in your life right now. You know, when I got saved, there were certain things I wanted God to do for me pronto. And I knew that as far as I was concerned, they were the priority. And I found out, frankly, they were way down the list. They were the ones that were important to me, maybe for sake of vanity or whatever. But there were things that were really vitally more important to him that he was working on. Right? And I'm like, no, God, I want you to do like this cool miracle, right? That I make, you know, make me kind of look cool, right? But so we're being transformed. The Greek word transformed, my original pastor, Alan Babcock, this was one of his favorite scripture, and he would always go to that word transformed and make sure that we all knew that comes from the Greek word metamorpho, which is where we get metamorphosis. So we're being transformed from glory to glory, and we're talking about a very radical, severe, thorough, absolute change. God wants to give us an extreme makeover. He doesn't want to give us a touch-up. He doesn't want to touch us up. I just need a touch-up. He wants to absolutely give us a makeover. And I, for one, am glad of that in my own life, that was God's offer. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17, which is where we shared last week, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And we know that also in the original language, there's a continuing tense there, that new creation. We're becoming a new creation. Old things are passing away, but behold, all things are becoming new. So we do recognize this process. But just because it's a process, doesn't make it any less dramatic an overhaul than if it were instantaneous. It's a dramatic overhaul. God wants to get at your guts. And God can't get at your guts unless he can push your button. And you can't get your button pushed if you don't allow him to. We can do every kind of end around under the sun to sort of put off that day where God deals with the ugly stuff inside of us. Isn't that right? Come up with every excuse to avoid that day that God wants to bring that thing to bear. And you almost are forcing him to make circumstances difficult and make you have to deal with it. Because if he could do it privately with you just learning by the word of God and being transformed by the word of God, he doesn't have to go public. It's like God is saying, you had to make me do that. You wouldn't go ahead and deal with it. But yet you're crying out to me, God, change me. I want your best. Well, what do you want? One way or the other, right? The scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:15, we are to be diligent to present ourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Paul was teaching that to Timothy and talking about the importance of him having command of the scripture, the most important thing, the most important knowledge you'll ever have. Because if you're going to have knowledge and wisdom, well, the wisdom part really comes from the scripture. It's knowledge and wisdom and knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge is rote memory. Understanding is when those pieces of information come together into systems that make sense, that you can see things as a network, not just as uncontiguous pieces of information. Wisdom is knowing what to do with it. You can have all the knowledge in the world. You can be the biggest Jeopardy guy, Jeopardy answer person on the block. If you don't know how to make it work together to create abundance of life around you, in your own relationships, in your community, and things like that, then you don't have wisdom. Wisdom is how you put knowledge and understanding to work. Yeah. So your education never stops. I think that's such an important facet. And education is does not only come from books, but it comes from. You should be a learning machine. You should learn from every human being you ever connect with. You should learn something more, because people are really what life is about. And that's what you learn about life from people, from connecting and contacting with people. Yes, your education has to continue, or else your life becomes boring. You know, they teach us to grow up and get a job and watch their TV. And that's how they define our life. Our life is supposed to be. We go to school until we're whatever, and then we get married, and then we have children, and we get a job, and we watch a TV. And then we buy the products that they sell us on the TV. And so that we go on this wheel, and it's such a small piece of life. It leaves out so much of what makes life worthwhile. Yeah? And what makes us worthwhile as people, we're going to go through transformation. This is generation transformation. We're going to pass through transformation. At the end of transformation, I promise you this, you're going to watch less TV. Paul says in Philippians, I press to the mark the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's something about you living your life, not seeing your life as a waste. Now, rest is important. Absolutely, rest is important. There are times of, God didn't only work. He worked 6 days, and then he intentionally, the God who needs no rest, the God who never tires, the God who doesn't need to go to sleep at night, took a day because he was showing us that it's the right thing to do. He was showing us that it's the right thing to work into your schedule, rest, times of rest, and times of worship, and times of other things besides working. They call it works righteousness. And the guy who says, let me take it this way. Someone might say, I work 80 hours a week. And that comes across sometimes as a statement of toughness or a statement of importance or a statement of something. But if you work 80 hours a week, you ought to have double what everybody else has who works 40 hours a week. Or else maybe you're not that smart after all. Just leave that there, right there. It's not something to brag about if you're not benefiting from it, right? Because I can show you a factory right now. You can make what you're making in 80 hours and 40 hours, and then you get 40 more hours to do something fun and good. That's just me. So, you know, because there are many of us, we tend to think that human beings are common. And because we live in a time where there's, 6 billion of us living on the earth, and because we've been taught by the science world that we're like highly evolved locusts, we just think that there's human beings are common things. And when we think that human beings are common things, we have to, at some point, wrestle with the idea that we're a common thing. And the God who has the hairs on your head numbered, who can have an infinity of universes of very, very special, only child-type children, wants to have that kind of relationship with you, wants you to think of yourself as an only child. If Jesus said the very hairs on your head are numbered, if he said that if he is giving you the opportunity to become a son or a daughter, a child of God, if he's giving you the opportunity, the sort of specialness that you should feel is the specialness of the only child of a very rich king who really wants to not to do anything but to help you to conform to the values of your father so that you can live at peace and help him to rule and reign his house in eternity. Starting now, he has such a specific plan for you and you alone. We get mixed up in this, you know, this massification, I think Toffler would call it, you know, this mindset of us being a people, not just persons. Now, I'm not for total individualism either, but there has to be a day when you and your father, your God, have just an intimate relationship. It's Joseph and Jacob and Joseph, right? Joseph, he's got, what does he have, 12 sons? Jacob has 12 sons? And he let everybody know. He didn't even let his other children know. Jacob's my favorite. That's like a rotten, I don't really dig that at all. Because I'm one of seven kids. I wasn't a Joseph in my family. But you know what? I am to God. Because he's infinite. Because I can be a Joseph, and you can be a Joseph, and you can be a Joseph, and you can be a Joseph. If you, many are called, few are chosen. Why are few chosen? Because not a lot of people will believe it. That God wants to do something very special and very specific that will fit you and you alone. And he'll bring you to places. He'll achieve things through you that you've never dreamed. The story of Joseph is that he starts out and his father just says, well, I just love him more. It wasn't Joseph didn't do anything better. Father just said, I really love him more. I'm going to make him a special coat. And he makes him this crazy coat, this many-colored coat. And he says, I want you to wear that coat all the time. Among your brothers. Now, how do you think brothers feel when the other brother has on the coat? They don't like him. Why do you think people don't like you? You think it's because of you. You think it's because they hate Christians. No, it's because you're favored. You want to walk around like you're favored. You act like you're favored. I can do no wrong. My father loves me. What are you going to do to me? Worst thing that can happen to me is I die, and the way I read the Bible, maybe that's the best thing. Because then let the party begin. Now, I'm not looking for any fast track out of here. Just so his brothers hate him so much. He's wearing this coat. I think it's a little embarrassing. I think that's why a lot of Christians hide out in the world. We like put our coat. Nobody's watching now, right? Let me leave my coat in the car. So when I go into the speedway, you know, they won't say, oh, there's the guy with the coat. That's our father's favorite. Yeah. Aren't you great? And, you know, it says like three times in one chapter, and his brothers hated him all the more. Do you remember last week we read this scripture that says, you know, to one kind of person, we're the aroma of life. To another kind of person, we're the smell of death. Right? You know, we all like our, if we only try to be nicer. If I could just be nicer. I'm going to nice everybody into the kingdom of God. How's that working out for us, folks? How's it not working out for us? The gospel has a sting to it. It's potent medicine, right? And either you spit that medicine out or you drink that medicine and it makes you better. So then Joseph has to go out, and his father says, hey, go out and find out where your brothers are. So he's a few days' walk from his father, and the brothers are as happy as they ever are. So they say, I think we should kill him, right? And then the conscience kind of gets to them. They say, no, we won't kill him. We'll throw him in a pit. We're going to take that cool jacket from him and throw him in a pit. And they end up selling him to slave traders. So all of this stuff goes on so they can get rid of him. So you go through stuff, you feel like God is throwing you overboard, right? Feel like God has forsaken you. So your brothers have cast you out so they can get rid of you. That was God. They literally were walking into God's plan for Joseph's life. They pull him up out of the pit. Jesus was cast in a pit. This is also prophetic. It's not even funny. Your head will spin around. Sell him to slave traders, and he becomes a servant in Potiphar's house. Boy, how's your destiny going now, hotshot? You're the favored brother. I'm a servant. Now, the boss's wife starts coming on to you. But you're a man of honor. And you run away, and she grabs a hold of your robe. And so that you run out of the house, and you have nothing on, no clothes on at all. And so everybody believes, because the wife said, he attacked me. Now you're thrown in jail. How's your discipleship going now, hotshot? Now you're in jail, and you're prophesying to the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker or whatever they were. Ultimately, you work your way up to top inmate. You were in Potiphar's house. You worked your way up to top servant, thrown into jail. Now you work your way up to top inmate. Listen, this is your Christian walk. God is in this. This is the house of purification. God is in this. God is creating a new Joseph. Transformation. This is generation transformation. So your troubles and your trials are not for naught. They're to teach you. They're to train you. They're to bring you this process of transformation. Because now what happens is, finally, at the sort of the end of the story, Joseph becomes second to Pharaoh in the whole country. He's the ruler of all of Egypt. He's Pharaoh's right-hand man. Pharaoh gives him the entire country to rule over. And there's a famine in the land. And Jacob sends his other sons to go beg in Egypt. Try to get us some grain because we're dying here. And you know who they come before? Joseph. You know what? They don't recognize him. Number one, they think, you know, he's long gone. He's been sold off as a slave. They are brought before this prince of Egypt. These brothers of his who hated him so much. They are brought before him. They humble themselves before him. They do not even recognize him. He's gone through transformation. He's gone through transformation. Every aspect of his life, his character has shone more and more and more brightly. He submitted himself to transformation. He didn't run from his responsibilities. He didn't run. He didn't lose heart in God because he went through trials. And you can't relate even with the trials that guy went through. And there are so many ways we move around failure and not come to terms with it and not decide we're going to do things right and find a way to weasel around it somehow. Listen, it's transformation, ladies and gentlemen, and you get there by doing it right. The proverb says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you're right. If you can't do it, you're right. You can't do it. If you're sure you can't write, you're no good, you're nobody, it always happens to me, all bad things always happen to me, you're just prophesying your future. If you can say, I can do it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you can do it. I say to Nan and the kids sometimes, one of my sayings, it's not in the Bible, but I'm putting in for a little addendum. They ain't no mysteries. They ain't no mysteries. People reap what they sow. They ain't no mysteries. If there is a thing a particular way, more often than not, it's for a reason. And it's for a reason that's not that deep or complicated. They ain't no mystery. Life takes courage. Life takes toughness. Life takes kindness. Yeah? So, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you today, Lord God, that you would cause us to experience the transformation as you have planned it. Lord Jesus, that we might be changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. That you make us wise in our day, Lord God. You'd make us diligent in our work. Father, you'd make us passionate in our love. Father, that we could continue to grow in you and become stronger and more righteous, Father, as a people and as persons individually, that we might each see ourselves as Joseph. We might each see ourselves as wearing a many-colored coat of God's favor upon us, knowing that whatever we're going through for the preparation of ruling and reigning with Christ. So we praise you and I bless everyone here in the spirit of God's love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Hello. My name is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared a wonderful message to us entitled, Generation Transformation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It reads, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's encouraging. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and have never become a new creation for God, would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that I am far from you. Jesus, I recognize that you died for my sin. I turn from my sinful ways today and place my life in you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill me with your power now. Father, thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. If you don't have a church, we'd love to have you visit Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. If this word today has impacted you, would you consider giving to the work of On Fire Radio? You can give online at cmcconline.org. Again, that's cmcconline.org. If you'd like to find out more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, you can like our Facebook page or go to our website. Once again, this is Jake Johnson on behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart. I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. God bless, and we'll see you in church.